Welcome back to His Time. It is Wednesday, January 29th, 7:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, and it is time for our special guest. Joining us by phone this morning, Maggie Carner, Director of Life and Health Ministries in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Good morning, Maggie.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you're getting to be a regular on KFUO. I'm kind of getting nervous. I'm thinking you're going to come in and take over here, huh?
No, nobody can take over from your shoes.
I'm just kidding. It's always good to talk with you. And it's important for us to hear what's going on. Your staff, your team does a nice job of keeping us informed of what's going on with life issues around the country and really around the world as well. So I appreciate you doing the work that you're doing to keep us informed.
Well, thank you. That's our pleasure.
Well, tell us, just recently, there were some pretty big events going on in terms of life issues. It was the marches for life, correct?
Correct. Yeah, we had last week was a big week. As always, our nation comes together on January 22nd. It is the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, and every year we have a march in Washington, D.C., in particular. That's been going on for decades, mm-hmm. where pro-life folks have gathered in Washington, D.C. to march from the National Mall to the steps of the Supreme Court. And we did that again this year in bitterly cold weather, I have to say. It was the coldest I've ever experienced, and I used to live in Minnesota. So being outdoors all day was in that kind of climate was something else. But it was worth it and absolutely inspirational this year to do that. I attended that annual event every year, and of course in all across the country, in many state capitals and cities, we have similar marches for life. And in recent years, they've been holding the West Coast March for Life as well, and that took place this year in San Francisco, and my colleague Ed Zito attended that one.
And we'll catch up with him in just a few minutes to get his perspective on that one as well. Did you say the first time that the San Francisco March has happened, or has it been going on for a little while?
No, it's gone on for a few years, but it's the first time that Life Ministries was visibly represented, and the LCMS was recognized from the podium there. Ed can tell you more about that with his participation.
Sure. Very good. Very good. Now, you, I know we had a lot of representation. I had a chance to talk with some of the college students who attended this year from Concordia University, Wisconsin, and they seem to have a group that's been going for a while, Students for Life at Concordia University, Wisconsin. And they shared the same perspective. It was pretty cold they were there, but very inspirational.
A group of hardy souls. I love those kids. They come every year from Concordia University, Wisconsin. They have a very vibrant Students for Life group there, very active, and they just inspire me to keep on keeping on in this fight. And they're just so fun-loving and wonderful to have around. And we had another group this year. Life Ministries helped sponsor some of the cost of a new group from Indiana, the Ball State Students for Life group. And actually, it was kind of a conglomerate group from students from LCMSU, our campus ministry at Ball State University, and also other students, pro-life students from Ball State. And then there were also students from Indiana University and Indiana Wesleyan University. So there were two buses from Indiana of college students that came. And then there were also some seminary students from the Fort Wayne Seminary that joined that group as well. So we had a lot of pilgrims to Washington this year, and it was really wonderful interacting with them and hearing their impressions, because many, many of them were first-time attendees to the March for Life.
Very good. It certainly seems to be a concern and an issue among college students. That sounds like a pretty large group that's there. Would you say, are there other age groups that you see there? Obviously all ages, but...
There's all ages represented at the March for Life. This year, I think the numbers of older folks was down a little bit, I think primarily because of the temperature. Mm-hmm. But increasingly over the years, we've seen more and more and more young people attending this event. In fact, it's overwhelming. It looks like a youth gathering, because there are just so many young people from around the nation that feel so strongly about this issue. And these are kids that have been raised in the era of Roe versus Wade, and they all know that they legally, their mothers could have chosen to abort them. All of them were born after 1973, and so I think they take this issue to heart, and they understand now in today's, especially with today's technology and 4D ultrasounds, and they all know what, you know, the value of that baby in the womb. And there's no question in their minds that this is probably, in their minds, the greatest human rights issue that they see confronting us in the world. And so they're very active about it, and I love their passion for it.
Can you give us a rundown of the events that went on in Washington, D.C. for this march? Obviously, as you said, from the mall to the steps of the Supreme Court is the path that you take. But it sounds like from the students, it sounded like there were a number of events going on while they were there.
Yeah, actually, it's kind of a multi-day event. The day before the march every year, the National Students for Life organization has sort of an apologetics conference for students to learn how to effectively present the pro-life message in their culture, in the youth culture, in a winsome and effective way. And that goes on the day before. And some of our students, I know the students from Wisconsin, I believe, participated in that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the day of, on the 22nd, we always, as LCMS Lutherans, we always start the day in worship. And we join this year, as in many years past, at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia, which is just outside the Beltway, for our Lutheran Divine Service. And this year, Pastor Christopher Esgett led us in worship. He's the pastor there. And a wonderful strong pro-life pastor with, you know, wonderful words of inspiration. And his sermon this year was just absolutely breathtaking. It was really full of gospel and conviction on the issue, and really helped us set our hearts in the right way to prepare us to march in the frigid weather. And then after the divine service, we join, you know, in the sacrament together, and then we have a brunch together. And this year, LCMS Life Ministries sponsored the brunch for all the marchers, and we joined together at the church for a hearty brunch to get us all prepared with some carbs and some warm coffee and cocoa, and then we head off to the metro station, and we all don our bright neon green winter caps so that we can all identify each other and keep track of each other in the crowds. And then we join together on the metro and ride that down to the National Mall. And then when we usually meet at all the Lutherans, and this year we even had Lutherans from the North American Lutheran Church, the NALC, joined us as well when we got to the National Mall at the corner of Independence and 7th. And that's usually every year where the Lutherans meet. We set up our signs, and then we proceed to the National Mall together and try our best to march alongside each other. But in the crowd, sometimes it's kind of hard. We lose track. But those green beanie hats help us keep track of everybody. So that then at the end, when we meet up at the Supreme Court, we try to take a big picture with everybody together with the Supreme Court in the background. And it's a wonderful way to meet friends and renew acquaintances and be inspired, and along the way, send a message to our legislators.
And there was quite a message. I saw photos of the signs that some of the group were carrying, and I particularly found one interesting. That was the sign that many of the college students, were holding, and that one, I believe, said, "I am the pro-life generation." I think, is that
absolutely
what it said?
Yeah, I am the pro-life generation. That I saw that sign more than any other. And it really sends a message to the country that our young people are not dumb. They know exactly what this means, and that for them, this is not just not a religious issue or anything like that. It's not a political issue. For them, it's a human rights issue. They care about the right to life for their for the rest of the young unborn children in this generation.
When I spoke with Deaconess Kim Biltman from Concordia, Wisconsin, and the Students for Life there, she said that it was encouraging to see groups from all kinds of walks of life, not necessarily just church affiliated or religious groups, but there were all kinds of groups there that were, as you said, it's not specifically or only a religious issue, but also it's a human rights issue.
Oh yeah, there's a panoply of different groups there. You'll see Atheists for Life. You'll have political groups. You'll have Democrats for Life, Republicans for Life. You'll have every religious group is pretty much represented there. All the different denominations. We even saw this year a homosexual group for life. So it's quite a interesting group, a mix of people from different worldviews and different walks of life. But on this issue, this particular issue, everybody walks together. And I think it sends an important message to the folks in Washington, D.C. and to our country as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Well, we need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll have Ed Zito, Special Projects Coordinator, join us as well to hear about the march in San Francisco. So listeners, stick around as we continue hearing, getting our update on the 2014 March for Life. Welcome back to His Time. I'm Andy Bates, your host. It is Wednesday, January 29th, 7:43 Central Standard Time, and we've been talking with Maggie Carner, Director of Life and Health Ministries in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, about the recent Marches for Life, and we've been talking about the D.C. March. And so joining us now by phone is also Ed Zito, Special Projects Coordinator for Life and Health Ministry. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Andy. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for getting up early to start the day with us and share with us your perspective on the March for Life in San Francisco this year.
Thanks. It's my pleasure. As Maggie said, it's the first time that we had an official presence out in San Francisco, and it was actually their 10th annual Walk for Life, and the weather was gorgeous. There were tens of thousands of people. I think the official estimate is over 60,000 people. So it made an impact in the city, and it was all over the local news for the first time as well.
You did have to mention that the weather was gorgeous, didn't you?
Yeah, well, it was kind of a little treat for me because I was in D.C. as well, and then fortunately I got to get on a plane and fly out to San Francisco where the high temperature was like 68 degrees, so it was sunshine and not a single cloud in the sky that day.
Maggie, were you a little jealous?
Oh, yeah. Ed got the perks this year.
Well, Ed, tell us, give us kind of a rundown of the events that happened in San Francisco.
Well, for the first year as well, Students for Life of America also had a conference out in San Francisco in conjunction with the walk. So that was a first for them. And so we were able to get some local congregations who have been participating on their own, but for once, we were able to gather them together. So we had folks from some local congregations from San Francisco and San Jose and Sacramento, as well as two Lutherans for Life chapters joined us. So it was nice. It was nice to be able to get all the Lutherans together in one spot.
Now, did you have bright green, yellow beanies, too, to keep keep tabs on everybody?
No, we didn't bring the green hat. The local Lutherans for Life chapter donated some T-shirts, some white T-shirts for everybody to wear. We're going to have to come up with something for next year because I don't think the hats will work in 68-degree weather.
Well, how many, an idea in comparison, how many people overall were at the San Francisco March?
Well, they're estimating over 60,000, which is good considering all the things that happened in San Francisco and in California in general. Last year they had over 50 they estimated 55, and this year they estimate over 60,000. It was just an incredible day. They had speakers, rally speakers before the actual march. The one thing that is different from San Francisco, between San Francisco and Washington, D.C., is that there were counter-protesters along the parade route, as if you will, holding their signs and yelling their beliefs at us. But there were no confrontations. The San Francisco Police Department handled it very well, protected both groups, kept each other separated. And our you know, the pro-life walkers, you know, we did not respond to any of the shouting or accusations that they were making.
And what was there anything else that really stood out about this event for you or that was memorable? Was this your first time at the San Francisco March?
Yes, it was my first time in San Francisco. Hopefully it won't be the last time. What kind of stood out was it seemed like it was a little more festive. It was a little more of a festive atmosphere. That there was a real, it wasn't so much focused on the political issues, but more focused on the life issues. Obviously, when you're in D.C., you do have some politicians who come up and speak. Mm-hmm. But really, in San Francisco, it was all about life, trying to promote adoption, talking about adoption. Abby Johnson from, and then there were none, the former abortion clinic director, she was there doing a little speech. Shari Rigby, the actress who was in October Baby, who was post-abortive but had never told anybody until she did that role in the movie, was there to talk about her experiences. So it seemed like a little more, well, don't get me wrong, D.C. is uplifting, but mm-hmm. San Francisco seemed more so.
Yeah, and didn't you say there was even a mariachi band in San Francisco at the San Francisco
yeah,
March?
Yeah, if you look at the Life Ministries Facebook page, we put up a photo album, and they had a mariachi band walking around, just entertaining the crowd. A Latino Christian radio station brought what looked to be at least two busloads of people, and they set up live broadcasts from the plaza and everything. So it just seemed a little more, you know, upbeat.
Yeah. Now, I should note that, you know, Ed had mentioned that adoption was an emphasis in San Francisco, but it was also a strong emphasis and the main theme of the march this year in Washington, D.C. as well. That was the one issue that all of the speakers, you know, kind of resonated with this year, that this is clearly an alternative to abortion that everyone needs to raise up as an option out there.
What, now that the marches are done for this year, and that's obviously some of the big events for the year, what lies ahead for this year when it comes to pro-life issues? Maggie?
Well, right off the bat, just on Tuesday of this year, the House of Representatives approved H.R. 7, which is called the No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion Act, and that was introduced by Congressman Chris Smith, and was passed by the House. Of course, now it needs to, you know, snake its way through Washington. Unfortunately, President Obama has stated that he will veto it if it gets to his desk. But the important thing about this is that people need to make their voices heard in Washington. I think it's a no-brainer that taxpayers do not want to pay for abortion with their tax dollars. And all this law does is it codifies the Hyde Amendment and other piecemeal laws that have tried to put in place this restriction on tax dollars being used for abortion. So, you know, I would encourage people to call their senators and make their views known on this, that, you know, for anybody who cares about good stewardship of their tax dollars, this is just not something that we want our taxes used for. So we were proud that the House was able to pass that. And, you know, this type of incremental approach and helping our legislators understand that this is not something that we want our dollars used for. Across the country, statewide, there are incremental restrictions on abortions. And state legislators, we've had more incremental restrictions on abortion passed in states than ever before. And I truly believe that kind of a momentum will increase this year as well. People are tired, sick and tired of this type of an assault on life. So we hope that that will continue. From an educational standpoint, just kind of put a bug in everybody's ear, this coming next year for the March for Life, LCMS Life Ministries will be sponsoring again another conference, LCMS conference, Life Conference in Washington, D.C. in conjunction with the March for Life in Washington, D.C. So we can all start saving our pennies now so that we can be pilgrims to Washington next year, learn a lot with our fellow LCMS Lutherans, and march together in the National March for Life in Washington. And that will take place next January. So put it on your calendars now, folks.
Very good. So next January 22nd, correct?
Correct.
Ed, what lies ahead for you in the coming year?
Well, the battle continues every day. We have special events to mark, unfortunately, the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, but the battle happens every day. 1.2 million babies are estimated to be aborted in the U.S. every year, and so that's one every 26 seconds. And, you know, there are many opportunities to get out and show our love for others by sharing them with sharing those with unplanned pregnancies the good news of Jesus Christ, and that there is hope, and that abortion is not the answer to their problems.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to get involved with local crisis pregnancy centers. We need to get involved with prayer vigils outside of abortion clinics, because that does make a difference. That is how many abortion workers end up leaving that industry, is by seeing the quiet, silent witness of Christians praying for them.
And that I echo what Ed said, and that's so important, that whole mercy aspect of contributing to the solution and the care for mothers and their children and families in this country. And that's something that we were just discussing yesterday. Yesterday we had our first meeting of our LCMS District Life Coordinators. That's something that both LCMS Life Ministries and Lutherans for Life is pulling together and spearheading. Our goal is for every LCMS district to appoint a pastor that is a life coordinator for their district. And yesterday we had our first online meeting of that group. And we discussed kind of a three-legged stool for approaching this issue, and one is education, one is advocacy, and one area is mercy work. And those are the three pillars of working towards a pro-life ethic in our society, and in particular, you know, as the witness of our church as well.
Mm-hmm. And that makes sense. If we're going to talk, we ought to be out there doing the action too, and you know, showing that mercy, not just talking, but actually extending that hand of mercy and support to those who are in need.
Yeah. And one last project we're focusing on this year is we have helped a center be set up in Malaysia, in the city of Port Klang, which is outside of Kuala Lumpur. We helped them with training and education, and we'll be going back there again this year, later this year, for ongoing training. It's a women's care and counseling center set up by one of our partner churches over there.
Yes, a lot of people don't realize, you know, we think in the United States that this is kind of a U.S. issue, but abortion is even more of a plague worldwide. And so the LCMS has been able to work with our church partners internationally to spread an ethic of life internationally as well. And that's it's very satisfying to work with our partners overseas on this issue.
Yeah, I would think that, you know, quite often we think it's just a North American issue, just a U.S. issue, but It really is an issue outside of the U.S. You described it as a plague, I believe, right?
Absolutely. And yet, you know, our partners overseas are doing amazing things. LCMS also sponsors complete funding for a pregnancy resource center in St. Petersburg, Russia, a Lutheran pregnancy resource center there. And the people running that center are absolutely amazing. The work that they do, the counseling they do for women, helping them find jobs, job training, computer training programs so that women can raise their earning potential and provide for their children. They provide housing for women. It's really good stuff, and it's very encouraging.
That just opening those doors for women and providing those opportunities to let them know that that they're not alone, that they have support, I'm sure makes a huge difference for them and makes it easier for them to make that decision, to make that decision to choose life for their babies.
Absolutely. And we have to remember that here in the United States, there are more of those pregnancy resource centers than there are abortion facilities. And those pregnancy resource centers that do much the same work as I was just describing are in almost every urban area and even in many small towns around the country. So I would encourage listeners to become familiar with the local pregnancy resource center in their area and offer support.
Very good. Very good. Well, we've been talking with Maggie Carner, Director of LCMS Life and Health Ministries. Maggie, good to have you with us this morning on His Time.
Thanks for having us.
And we've also been talking with Ed Zito, Special Project Coordinator of Life and Health Ministries. Ed, thanks so much for being our guest this morning.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure to be with you.
God's blessings to both of you, and thanks for all the work that you're doing. And I hope we'll continue to check in throughout the year and hear what's going on with pro-life issues and Life and Health Ministries. Thanks so much for being our guests.
Thank you.
Coming up in the next hour, we're going to study God's Word. We'll get into Romans. I'm sorry. We're all done with Romans now. It's time to jump into 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll get into that here in just a little bit. 2 Timothy 1, verses 1 through 18. We're going to study with Pastor Mark Wood, pastor at Lamb of God Lutheran Church in Lithia, Florida. I hope that you'll stick around and study that with us. It's always good to dig into God's Word as you start your day with the Word of God and prayer right here on listener-supported Worldwide KFUO. The Messenger of Good News.